Welcome, you're listening to The Women Re-Elevated on Thor Radio Network. I'm Layla, your host, and my mission is to exemplify righteousness and abundance, to inspire, uplift, and empower those who are willing to lives of vision, action, persistence, accomplishment, wealth, and contribution through a never-ending quest for the discovery and application of truth, to shine my light wherever I am and wherever I go. The Women Re-Elevated is an extension of my mission, as we as women are the measure of our nation. We need to raise ourselves up to the highest possible standard and take our men, sons, and daughters with us, all re-elevated. Thank you for joining us each and every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Women Re-Elevated on Thor Radio Network.
So many faces of different colors, so many stories untold, so many places, these streets and numbers, yeah, we're all pieces of a whole big world. Come alive, and we all fall apart, and we all need someone to love us where we are. And what if we all took a minute to look at one another and lay our differences aside? We would find that we are the same kind, the same.
There's a thousand reasons for how we got here, but only one way to explain why it hurts you and why it hurts me too. No matter where you've been, it's all the same.
We are
love us where we are? What if we all took a minute, look at one another, and lay our differences aside? We would find that we are the same kind of broken. All the colors bleed to one, like a river we all run, searching for the place that feels like home. So let's all take a minute and look at one another and lay our differences aside. 'Cause we all come alive and we all fall apart, and we all need someone to love us where we are. 'Cause we are the same kind. Oh, we are the same kind of broken.
Me in chorus too. Watch.
Greetings, everyone. Today is Wednesday, August the 12th, 2015. Welcome to Thor Radio Network, founded by our very own Brother Sharif. Welcome to the Women Reelevated. I'm Layla, your sister and host. I'm also joined by Thor's most powerful and beautiful matriarch, our beautiful Yama. I'm very, very grateful for this opportunity for all of us to come together in common unity, also known as Thor unity. All praises go to the Most High for using me as an instrument for the benefit of everyone. The Woman Re-Elevated's mission is to edify the woman back to her rightful place in an elevated state on the right-hand side of Almighty God, with truth and virtues emanating in everything she does. And in doing so, she'll bring her man with her together, and in turn, they will bring their sons and daughters. So happy that we're all here together again, like I said today, and we have a very special guest that we'll be bringing out shortly that's going to really inspire us with her story. And, you know, when we all look at each other, we talk to each other, and sometimes when we talk to one another, we think someone has something better off, or someone is more better off than we are, or someone is not as well off as we are in any aspect of our lives. But sometimes when we look at other people's lives through our eyes and through their words, sometimes we realize, oh, you know what? What I've got going on in my world is not so bad. But needless to say, we're all children of the Most High God, and none of us are any different than any other. And we need to recognize all of the differences that we have and come together in that common unity that we talk about as Thor unity. With that being said, I'm just going to open the lines. Yama, I know you're out there.
Yes.
Yama,
yes,
you're
Layla.
There? Okay.
Yes. Shalom, shalom, peace.
Shalom, to all, peace.
Yes. Peace to all Thor kin folks. This is another beautiful Thor time to be in the land of the living. And you can be in the land of the living, but you must be alive in the land of the living, because we as woman, and when we say woman, you see the man is right there. There is no separation. We are here to re-elevate our kinfolks, our kinfolks, the one who we are like-minded with, so we can get to a horizontal point, continually raising up to be united in our community, so it will benefit the kin that is in the community, because we are like-minded. We're in this game not just to play a game, but we're in the game to win. And when we win and we're elevated, it brings us all in unity, and that's what it's all about, being our minds being established on the things or the desires that we have or things that we should have, and it all become completed. And it all is completed as a unit. As a unit, and that's what we're all about, re-elevating the woman to get to the point where we're all one, and we're moving, we're flowing, and we're accomplishing things that will benefit us. And it's the dawning of a new Thor time, and it's all about receiving that truth and applying it and benefiting from it, growing up, and that's being re-elevated, Layla. That's being re-elevated. And this is the time. This is the time of knowing. This is the time of revelation. And we don't want to miss anything. We want everything that we need to know that will take us to our rightful position as being women. And as I said, women, that's the womb and the man. And that brings forth our sons and our daughters. So this is the time, Sister Layla.
Definitely, Yama. Thank you so much for your powerful words. Everyone, thank you for being here. I just want to make mention before we bring our guest out, I was at a marvelous function this weekend. It was a nonprofit function. There were scholarship recipients, of which our guest, Holly, was a recipient of scholarship funds, some of the scholarship funds. I had the opportunity, did not know, little did I know, what the table at which I was seated with Holly's parents, Connie and Jerry. We engaged in conversation. It was a great and pleasant conversation. And the proud parents that they are, you know, they were beaming from ear to ear with pride and joy of, you know, over their beautiful daughter, Holly, and giving me some of the backstory concerning Holly. I did not know anything about Holly prior to this engagement over the weekend. And when I learned the beautiful story, it's a story of sadness, you know, what she'll share concerning her family, and then, you know, what they all dealt with and how they have come through it and how Holly is persevering and what she's been able to do and change in her community as a result of this. It's just astounding. And I was just so compelled because we did have something else lined up for everyone for today, but I was so compelled to see whether or not we could get Holly to talk with us prior to her going off to college. There was some scheduling, you know, we invited some other people to come and speak on behalf of Holly, and, you know, just the coordination didn't work, and that's fine, but the main centerpiece story is about Holly, all right? So I just want to share with you that, you know, that aspect, and I'm going to let Holly come out and tell a little bit about herself because I don't want to take away from any of her thunder. All right. I know some of the things, and I'll come back and ask some questions. And I got to speak to Holly for a very, very short time here. All of my engagement primarily was with her parents. All right. So, Holly, I'm going to bring you out, and I'm going to open up your line. Holly, are you there?
I am here.
Okay.
Good morning,
everyone. Good morning, everyone. This is Holly. Holly, you have the floor. Tell us a little bit about your background. You know, I know that this situation is fairly new to you. So just tell a little bit about your life prior to and bring us to what happened and moving forward, all right? The floor is yours, my
okay.
dear.
Awesome. Okay, so of course, when I was younger, way younger than what I am now, obviously, before everything happened, I was just a normal little girl. I had perfect vision. And of course my sisters had glasses, and I would always be the one to be like, oh, you guys have glasses and I don't. And, you know, and that was me. And then, seventh grade year started, I started playing volleyball. It was one of the greatest things I ever did. And in my head, I was going, this is my passion. This is what I want to do for the rest of my life. This is it. And then just as soon as volleyball season ended, my seventh grade year, of course, it was my very first year ever playing, and I was so excited about my future. And then just as seventh grade volleyball ended, I started having vision issues. I stopped seeing the board, and I was like, okay, well, I'm going to get glasses. Like, it's okay, and, you know, or I'm going to get contacts. And I was, I didn't have a problem with it, so I went to the eye doctor, and they were having issues correcting my vision to perfect 20/20. And of course, I was like, okay, well, what can we do? So he was like, he was telling me that they should probably send me to a different doctor. So I went to a different doctor, and that doctor as well could not figure out what was wrong with my eyes. By this point, I was a little bit worried about, you know, obviously I couldn't see the board in the classroom. What was I going to do? So then he sent us to the other doctor, which was the retina doctor, and he was a specialist, and they did many different tests and finally figured out that I have a disease known as Stargardt's, also known as a juvenile version of macular degeneration. Typically common in older people, but this is the juvenile version, so I was 12. And at this time, I didn't really know how to handle it, because when they explained it to me, they explained that this disease, it affects the retina, which is also in the back of the eye, and causes the cells in the back of the eye to slowly die. And as a 12-year-old, being told something like that was absolutely terrifying. I'm not going to lie. It was hard, and I didn't know how to handle it. But, of course, I just took it. I took the information, and I processed, and I said, okay, well, here we go. So within a three-month time span, as a 12-year-old, my other two sisters started having vision troubles too. they have previously had glasses, and it wasn't a big deal for them. They just thought they needed a glasses, like a prescription change, and we were okay with it. But turns out they have the exact same disease that I do. Within a three-month time span, one of my sisters was 17, the other was 20, which was crazy because the way this disease works is it's supposed to hit when you're around 12 to 13 and then progressively move forward and get decreasingly worse. Like it's supposed to move on. And so that was, it was difficult, of course. By this point, I'm no longer thinking volleyball for me. That was first thing. I was like, okay, well, that's not going to work out for me. But at the same time, I was worried. I didn't know how to handle with my sisters, and it took a hit on my family at that time. It did. And we were all kind of just trying to band together and figure out what we were going to do next. And it was hard, but at the same time, we knew we were going to be able to do it. And so after all of that started hitting, I started in school, specifically in school, I started to get enlarged papers and using different kind of magnifiers and things like that. And at first, I was embarrassed. I was very embarrassed, and I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell any of my friends. And so actually, a few of my friends thought that I was upset with them because I wouldn't wave at them in the hallway. Turns out I couldn't actually see them, and they know that now, so it's okay. But at the time, they thought I was upset. And then it took me about 4 months to be able to tell anybody what was going on besides my family. And but after I did that, I realized that it was okay, and it was going to be okay. And towards the end of my seventh grade year, after taking the time to process what was going on in my life, and how that this was not just a temporary thing for me, that as this 12-year-old girl, I'm going to have to figure this out. And I was okay with that. So by the end of my seventh grade year, I told myself that it was going to be okay. And it is. And so I started taking leadership roles in my school. I ran for NJHS president my eighth grade year, and I ended up getting it. And that was the very starting point of telling myself that I was going to be okay, and I can do things no matter if I can see myself, see my own toes, honestly, or not. And even though at first I was scared, I started to realize that I was going to be all right. And so was my family. And even though I was losing my vision, I was still seeing everything. Like, so once I moved on into high school, of course, the classes got a little harder, and it was starting to get a little bit more difficult to explain to high schoolers that, you know, I didn't have the same kind of vision they did. But of course, eventually, people started to understand, and it got a lot easier to say, hey, like, I can't see this. Can you read this for me really quick? And everybody would be like, okay, yeah, this is great. Like, I can help you. And I would appreciate it. And then people started to notice that I was running for offices and classes in my class office and things like that, and student council. And I started to be a leader. And I loved it. It was something that I loved to do. Even though a few years back, I had thought that volleyball was the place that I needed to be. But then after the disease hit and I started losing my vision quicker, I started realizing that I could be a leader, and that's what I wanted to be. And being able to speak to other people and openly speak about what was going on with my vision, and how even though I wasn't going to be able to drive any time in the near future or possibly ever, that I could still succeed in what I was trying to do. And so throughout high school, I spoke to many different people, and they asked me different questions. And it was really good to be able to say that I was going to be okay, and that if I can be okay, they could be okay. And with whatever they were going through, with whatever obstacle was set in front of them, it helps them realize that they could get through it too. And I loved that. It was amazing to be able to say, hey, like, we could do this together. I mean, without my support system, I don't know where I would be. And it was hard at times, don't get me wrong. It was hard, but I think it was amazing how by the end of my senior year in high school, I was very confident as to who I was. And this entire disease defined the fact that I was a stronger person. And I don't think if I ever had a chance to take it back in seventh grade, to take back the fact that I was diagnosed, I don't think I would. Because honestly, this disease has made me who I am, and it made me a better person and made me open my eyes to other people. It made me think about other people more and know that we're all going through something. We all have something in our lives that seriously take us aback and shake up our snow globe that we have, that we call our lives. And we all have something right there in front of us that we have to get around somewhere, somehow. And it truly opened my eyes to everything. Even though I couldn't see what was right in front of me, I saw a lot more than what I thought I could. And it truly was amazing to see the transitions that I made throughout high school and things like that, and to see I wasn't going to let anything stop me. So as well in high school, I decided, which is a weird decision for me, but I decided that I was going to take sign language. Even though I may not have been able to see, I used different tools and different the different opportunities to be able to say, I can learn this and I can do it. So now I'm fluent in sign language, which is very interesting. It's a lot of fun, and it's something that I love to do as well. Which is, people told me I couldn't, which made me want to do it more. So it was great. That's pretty much my story. I don't really know what else to say.
Holly, I muted out, so it took me a moment to get my phone back.
Okay, no worries. No, thank you for sharing that. That's powerful. Just very, very powerful. Yama, your line is still open. I just want to just kind of touch on a few points. So, in seventh grade, you talked about how you found this out, and the fact that you had two other sisters. So these are the only siblings you have. Is that correct? You said two other sisters.
Yes.
So do you have any other siblings besides?
No, it's just us three. I have two older sisters and me.
Wow. So the entire, all of the children were diagnosed. So your diagnosis of this, you said macular degeneration of the retina in the back of your eyes. That's a juvenile version of it. So your siblings are older than you, right? You're the baby?
Yes.
Okay. And so they bypassed it. So they had the propensity for it, but it wasn't found out. And then you were the one that they found this out with. Is that correct?
Yes, which is
really
interesting, just because it's supposed to start young, but then once you hit the 20s, it's supposed to slowly stop decreasing your vision. So they didn't have a very long time to lose their vision. So it was good for them that they can both still drive and they can both still do a whole lot, which is really great.
I see. So because it's more aggressive at the younger ages and it caught you at the age of 12, that has prohibited you from doing some of those things. Is that correct?
Correct.
Oh, wow. All right. And so that, I love the fact that you said that your family came together. I know that it must have been really devastating for your parents. You know, I'm a mother. I have children. And to see their children, and especially the baby, you know, there's something special about seeing the baby girl, which I'm pretty sure you're fully aware of. but I can imagine. So can you elaborate a little bit more on that? I mean, the fact that you all bound together, what was that like for you?
At first when we were diagnosed, I don't think any of us, out of the five people in my family, I don't think any of us knew how to handle it. And I know for a fact it was especially hard on both of my parents. But of course, when we were first told what the disease was, the doctor didn't really elaborate on what it was. And so as a family, we kind of had to figure it out on our own. We had to do lots of research on the disease, and I don't think I'll ever forget watching my parents look up the disease and figuring out what it was, because I could see the hurt in their face, and I could see the tears, and it was hard. And I think at first, because I was the first one diagnosed as the baby of the family, I know I could see that it was going to take a toll. But then at the same time, when my other two sisters were diagnosed at the same time as well, it got even harder. But then after that, we kind of sat down and said, okay, what are we going to do? And that's all we could do at the time. Even though the problem couldn't physically be fixed, we knew that as a family, we could get through it because the love that we had for each other, and we could all support each other and have understanding. So it was great.
That's beautiful. That's very beautiful. So you took on the leadership role in the eighth grade. That was tremendous. I mean, that love, the pouring of love that came from your parents and that you all shared with each other edified you to the point where you took control of yourself. What was that like to make that decision and decide that you were going to run for an office in your eighth grade?
For me, I think it was just because at first I was so scared to do anything, I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life now, because I was afraid that because I couldn't see, I couldn't do things, which was completely wrong. And so when I decided to do that, I wanted to be, the reason I took the leadership role in a community service group such as Student Council or NJHS, I wanted to give back because I knew that I could. And just seeing the smiles on other people's faces when I did community service absolutely made my heart melt, and I loved it. And it was great to see that I could make a difference in other people's lives with something so small as to volunteering at this event. And that's what made me love taking leadership roles, and then being able to show other people that they could be leaders and help out with different things and make other people happy. And it helps everybody, because it not only makes them happy, but it makes you happy too. And it was a great feeling to be able to say, hey, I'm going to lead this group and I'm going to help us succeed. And it was awesome. It really was great.
Beautiful. So now you're in high school. Oh, Yama, were you going to say something? Go ahead. By all means.
Okay. Welcome, Holly.
Hello.
I'm Yama. And we call it at Women's Reelevated a success testimony, and that's what you gave, how you persevered. And what I like about what you said is that you didn't let, even though you were into your volleyball, you didn't lament over that, and you moved on. You persevered down another avenue, and that avenue brought you to become a leader, have a leadership in your life. And that's so beautiful. You didn't let your vision hinder you from still seeing, because you said it opened your eyes to other people. So your vision became brighter. It was more intense for you to see what's going on. Even though your eyesight was diminishing, your vision was illuminated with the light that you had as a leadership to persevere and go on and do things that you didn't think that you were going to, or avenues that you were going to go down. And like you said, it made you a better person because you, the needs of others, you wanted to, serve as a leader. And that's what leaders do. They serve, Holly. And when you serve, that service come back to you. It's reciprocity. You receive it back. And so I commend you with your insight of how to be a leader, and to be a leader as a young woman developing and knowing that in your womanhood, like we say at Women Reelevated, the woman is the children and the man. And that's, I see a great future for you, Holly.
Holly, are you there?
Yes, I'm there. I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay, no worries. You were in high school, Holly, and you were talking about how you took on more leadership roles in high school. Also, I realized that you also, not only did the classes get harder, I mean, by virtue of you being in high school and the fact that your vision was diminishing, you also took AP courses in high school. Is that correct?
I did. I took different advanced classes, which were difficult just because of the way the classes were laid out, and they got more intense and quicker. And with my vision, it got really difficult for me to keep up. But at the same time, I ended up doing well. I just used the fact that like I could succeed, and I wanted to succeed, and that helped me so much. Just the confidence that I had to get an A in that class was very helpful.
I've been informed that you're a straight A student. Is that correct?
That is correct.
That's on top of all of that, a straight A student in AP classes. I know quite a few students who really struggle. I'm just using the classification because, just like Yama said, I mean, though we talk about it being blindedness or vision impaired, that although you are very envisioned and very illumined in your endeavors, but the fact that what we want to call and use that term, because I really don't believe in these terms and they tend to be labels, but when we're talking about from a sighted perspective and the way that this world looks at things, you know, a lot of the sighted students struggle dearly in AP classes. And for you to have gone through all of this and that fortitude, that strength, that internal, that spirit within you that took hold of you and carried you along the way and gave you that strength and fortitude to get straight A's is really remarkable as well. So just like Emma said, I agree. I mean, your world is your oyster, and you can do anything, as you already know. You don't need me to validate or anyone else to validate, as long as you know for yourself. But I just commend you as well for that.
At the same time, when I was doing these classes, people were actually telling me, I had certain people that would always try to put people down and things like that. They're like, are you sure you can do this? Can you handle this? Maybe AP classes are not for you. And I'm not going to lie, I was a little taken aback by them saying that, but honestly, that's what I needed for them to say things like that, for me to be like, well, watch me. Watch me what I'm going to do, and I'm going to show you. And I did, and it was a good feeling.
That's amazing. Now, the sign language. Now, I'm going to tell you, we're sitting at the table, and your dad is telling us about the sign language. And I just about became totally unglued, and I said, sign language, are you kidding me? And he said, well, watch, hold on for a second. And he pulls out his telephone, and he has a video that he shows me of you signing. And for everyone in the audience, Jerry showed me this his phone, and you had on a football jersey. She's standing in front of a fireplace, and she's got all this rhythm, and she's signing to this song, and it's just truly, truly amazing. And I'd like you to share that, because your father also shared an experience or experiences that you get when you're dealing with people who are deaf. Can you share that, please, with everyone?
Yes. So taking sign language was something that I decided to do back in middle school after I was diagnosed. And so going into high school, I waited till my sophomore year to go ahead and take it, thinking, you know, I could do this, and I was just going to take the first two courses, and then I was going to get my language credit, and it was going to be okay. And then when I took that class, I met up with my teacher ahead of time, and she was absolutely terrified. she wasn't sure if I could keep up, like seeing the signs and learning them. It only took me about a week to become very fluent with my words and with what I was saying. And so, and then I truly found a passion in sign language. And then once I got to my level 2 sign language class, and I was very interested in it, learning more and more and more. I loved it, and I had no issues learning it or speaking it. And so sign language 3, I decided to take sign language 3 and 4. Once I got there, I started working with other deaf students who actually knew sign language. And so I went to a place, the School for the Deaf in Austin is where I went, and for a festival. And so I got to meet and interact with many different deaf students. And this festival was full of so many deaf people. It was amazing, and I loved it. It was such a big community. And so I was signing to a lot of different people, and they would have full-on conversations with me. As long as I was close enough to see their hands and how they were moving, I didn't have any issues. And so when I would go up to some of the vendors and I would just sign, just because it was normal for me, a lot of people thought I was actually deaf, which was kind of awesome, but I had no issues. And a lot of my friends around me who were in the class with me as well and on this trip were struggling with the signs. And so it helped them learn more to know that if I could do it, so could they. And it was so much fun. And once I started doing songs and speaking to more deaf people and creating relationships and making more friends, it was an amazing experience. And to know that I succeeded with that, it was fabulous. And I loved every second of that class and every second of using sign language and pursuing that. It was amazing.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you're finding where you fit in, and you're making a difference in the world. That you're creating differences. You're creating the space for yourself, and you're fitting in, and you're changing the world, Holly. And you're lifting your voice here on the Women Reelevated. I know for the listeners out there, and the listeners that will download the show at a later time, I know they're going to get tremendous benefit from the words that you've lifted up and encouragement from those words in their own lives. If you don't mind, we're going to go ahead and take a break just for a moment. We're going to come back. For any of you who are listening and would like to talk to Holly, please feel free to press 1 on your phone. You can dial the number 657-383-0332. That's 657-383-0332. And please press the number 1. With that being said, we will be back in just a moment.
Another day, another fight. It always feels like an uphill climb. Another step, another mile. The story of your life. It's harder than you ever thought, and it costs you everything. Control.
we're back. And we actually have some questions that are coming forward. So we're going to go ahead and open the line. 909-6704. Welcome to The Woman Reelevated.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi there.
I just wanted to say that Holly is very inspiring, but I wanted to ask what moment for her is just her biggest turning point in her life.
Does everybody hear me? I'm not sure. Okay. I think for me, the biggest turning point in my life was the moment my other two sisters were diagnosed with me, because I knew that everything was going to change. Everything from what I did to how I spoke to people, how I interacted with other people, it was going to change. And I knew that at the same time, I was going to have a support system with me. I knew I was going to have my family there with me, even though everything in my snow globe of a world was going to get turned upside down. It may have been for good and it may have been for bad, but it was going to change. And I knew that and I accepted that. So I think out of everything, that was the most defining moment.
Awesome.
All right. Are there any other callers that would like to join the conversation and or ask a question of Holly? Thank you very much for that question. All right, while we're waiting for others to decide, Holly, so what's next for you, Holly? What are your plans?
Right now, I am going to go to Texas A&M here in the fall in College Station, so Giga Mags. And so I'm going to be starting there, and I'm a psychology major. So hopefully throughout my time at A&M, I'll be studying, working with behavioral analysis of children, and especially the younger kids, just because I know that they go through a lot too. But this also goes for anybody, not only kids though, but I do want to work specifically with kids. But I want to be able to have, I want them to have an outreach, someone that they can go to and talk to about their experiences and understand them specifically. And so I think that would be the most amazing thing, just because I know that, like I said, everybody goes through something. Everybody has that one thing that they don't know how to handle, or the one thing that they can't handle for them. And I want these kids to have something to reach out to. And so hopefully in my future, after studying at Texas A&M, I will be able to do that. And I'll be able to understand that part of them.
That's wonderful. That's just wonderful. So, you know, as you were talking, my mind just transcended, you know, to, you know, you being a baby girl, and I spoke to your mother, Connie, and we were talking about the fact that you're going to be going away to school. And, you know, from a mother's perspective, it's wonderful. You know, I remember telling my children, oh, you know, I can't wait for you all to go off. I love you all dearly, but I can't wait for you to go off. But deep down in my heart, I know and I knew that I was going to miss them dearly. So when I was speaking to Connie, she expressed the fact that, you know, that's a difficult situation. And then I know from a mother's perspective and everything that you've been going through, or that you've been through, that adds that extra sense of care and concern. And I'm talking to you, Connie. I know that you're listening, that I can tell you from hearing Holly speak, you're not going to have any worries with Holly. And I could only imagine that when Holly gets on campus, she's going to find, and I know, and by the way, Holly, I sat with your friends at the table. Two of your friends that came with you, we sat and we spoke, and I know one of your friends is going to be going down to that college with you. So I know he assured that, you know, he's going to make sure he continues to look out for you, and I know that you're going to find other friends on campus that are going to do the very same.
Yes, that is my support system, all of them, the two friends, and I have so many other ones that would have loved to have been there too, but they couldn't make it. But they, I don't know what I would do without my support system, every single one of them. And they're going to be the ones to help me get through college, even in the dark times of not being able to see something and kind of freaking out. But I know they're going to be there. And I know I'm going to have my mom and my dad to be able to call. And even though I'm sure my mom and my dad are freaking out about me leaving the house and moving to College Station and having a great time, I know they're freaking out. But at the same time, I know they're so excited. So I'm very excited for it as well.
Absolutely. Yes, I know parents, they freak out anyway when their children go off, you know, with any and all of the nuances, but it's just a part of the growth process that we as parents and even you as a child of your mother and father go through. It's just a part of that process. I have a nephew going to college as a freshman this year, and everyone's a little bit concerned, you know. So it doesn't change, no matter. It doesn't change regardless. So that is that speaks for itself. Do we have any other questions? Go ahead.
Oh, I'm having and with my mom, she's always telling me, you know, if you can't see something, just ask someone. I'm like, Mom, I'm gonna be okay. Like, I can make it through this, and I know it's gonna be okay. She's like, I know. I'm just making sure. I'm just making sure. I'm like, Mom, I promise. I may not be able to see something right in front of me, but other people can. And if I'm gonna walk into a pole, they're gonna tell me. Like, I don't know.
That is so true. That is so true. Also, Holly, I see. Well, actually, I was informed that you also have aspirations to be a motivational speaker. Will you tell us what your plans are regarding that?
I do. That was something that I decided was something I loved to do just when I started to do the leadership roles. And I loved the idea of speaking to other people and telling them what I've been through, that they can get through it too, whatever that they have going on, you know, and being able to speak and tell just my story, just what about my life and what the different things that I felt. Because I know that other people go through either the exact same things or the exact same feelings or different feelings and different things, but still they don't know what to do. And so by hearing things about my story, sometimes they go, oh, hey, like, I'm okay. And I loved that idea. And when I first thought about that, I was very excited because just the thought of helping other people get through something that they're going through just by using something that I've gone through. And it's an amazing feeling to be able to say, I helped that person, and I'm always going to be there for that person. I mean, I don't even know their name, but I'm going to be there for them. And I still do love that excitement of being able to say that.
Thank you for sharing. We're going to ask if you have any questions of Holly, or if you have any comments. If you want to join this conversation, please press 1 from your phone. The call-in number is 657-383-0332. That's 657-383-0332. Okay, we have another question or comment. I'm going to open up the line. 972-9234. Welcome to The Woman Reelevated.
Hi.
Hi there.
I was wondering, Holly, what are you most excited about for this new chapter in your life for college?
For this upcoming year, I think I'm more excited just to get out there and meet new people and to experience different things in my new world of Texas A&M and the new studies and getting to know these people. And when I do get to know these people, I don't necessarily tell them anything about my vision at first because they see me and they don't see that. And so I want them to get to know me before they even know anything about that. Because this way, when they do know about it, they go, oh, like, I had no idea. That's awesome. So I think that's what I'm more excited to experience is meeting all these people who have no idea anything about me, to show them that I'm someone other than what they think I am.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Holly.
Holly, that's very profound, actually. And yes, when you see Holly, you don't know that there's a potential visionary issue that she is experiencing. She looks just like you or me, and that's a very profound statement because, you know, we tend, just societally, we tend to judge a book by its cover, don't we? So that statement that you made, Holly, is very key and pivotal, and you can teach people about not having those preconceived notions, which is pretty cool.
Exactly. As someone who doesn't, I don't look like I have a visual impairment or that I cannot see what's in front of me sometimes. And so when people meet me at first, you know, they don't think anything of it. They meet me for me, and I love that. Because sometimes if they know that I have a visual disease or anything like that, they try to work around it. You know, they try to speak about other things and try to make sure that they can walk with me or try to hold my hand or something. And it's kind of weird, one. Two, it kind of makes me feel like that's all they see in me. And so that's why when I meet people, I don't typically tell them anything about my vision until it comes up or I've become really good friends with them or it just so happens to be something that happens and they're like, oh, hey, can you help me read that? And then I'll explain. And then by that time, they know something about me other than my vision, which is really nice because then they know that I'm still a person. I just can't see as much as they can.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yama, do you have any questions or comments?
Yes. When you were speaking about your sign language, when you chose to learn sign language, and how it benefits you, because when you went into a community of people who were impaired with as far as speaking, you had already prepared yourself and you knew sign language and see when you go into a community, you must bring something or the culture that's there, you have to be a part of it. And you brought it. You brought that sign language and you fit right in because you were able to communicate with that community. And when you can communicate with a community, when you come in, you bring unity. And when I heard you speaking about that, that's what came into my mind. When you want to interact with another community, you must have a part of their culture, which was the sign language, and you brought that there, and you fit right in. You became a part of it. And I just got that from you speaking about you embracing sign language and not really realizing, but it took you into a leadership role because you could. One thing about a leadership role, you must communicate. And if you communicate with who you're speaking to, you fit right in. You become a part of it. And so that's an attribute of you that you have that you can use it in any area of your life, Holly, when you go off to college. You know what's needed in the community, you learn it, and you'll fit right in. So, Layla, that's what I have to contribute.
That's awesome. Well, I just, you know, I'm giving opportunities for, we're going to, you know, the show is designed to go for a little over an hour or so, and we've had quite a few people on the line. We'd love to hear from you, share any insights, any comments you may have. Anyone that you may know that may have had an issue with concerning their vision, we'd like for you to bring that forward or maybe even ask Holly a question that maybe might help you to relate to someone that you may know that might have a vision, considered a vision impediment. please speak out, because when we share, we, you know, sharing is caring, right? Holly is, you know, we rearranged the schedule so Holly could be here because we wanted her. She was excited to share her story. And that sharing is caring. Holly cares enough to be here to make sure that she can get her message out to you. Well,
and honestly,
I'm getting everyone in my... Yes, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Sometimes hearing other people speak about something that's going on in their life makes you want to share yours. And that, if you can share your own experience or honestly somebody else's experience, if you can share that, that's a great feeling, being able to speak openly about something that's going on. Even not openly, but, you know, asking a question or trying to understand better, it makes you feel a lot better about anything that's going on in your life. It doesn't even have to relate with vision. It doesn't have to relate with hearing. It doesn't even have to relate with any disability. It can be anything going on. And just asking questions or trying to make a connection with someone else, once you make that connection, you feel so much better and you kind of have more of an understanding about what's going on with your own life. And I love that feeling when I can connect with other people just by telling them something about me, but it has anything to do with my vision or not, it's still a good feeling.
Absolutely. Well, we will, you know, we want to thank you so much, Holly, for coming to Thor Radio Network and visiting us with us here on The Women We Elevated. Your story is so very inspiring. I know that those that will that are here have gained so much insight from the words of wisdom that you have exhibited here, and those that will be listening to the download of this show will definitely gain a lot of wisdom from the words that were shared here, because they'll forever be in the ether. You know, as we close the show, is there any one final comment that you'd like to make for everyone? As you move forward in your next level, your next journey.
Something that I would like to say is that a lot of people, when you have something that's in your life, which we all do, every single last one of us do, we all have that one thing that we have to get past to move on, that we have to understand and accept before we can move on with our lives. That no matter what it is, it's not too big. You can move past it. You can get through that. And that you just have to have the confidence, and you have to have the will to move on and accept whatever's going on and take it in stride. Something that I had to learn very quickly was that no matter what I had, I could make it. Even at times when I thought I couldn't, and then I thought that this was going to be detrimental to everything that was going on, it helped to think, all right, there's still a tomorrow. There's still the next day after that. And it's still, my vision is still going to be the way it is. It's not going to fix itself overnight. But I'm still going to be okay. And the day after that and the day after that, I'm still going to be here and I'm still going to be okay. And it's very comforting to think sometimes with whatever anybody's going through that there's a way to power through that. And listening to other people's stories or hearing something that's going on in other people's lives, making those connections really does help to know that they can make it through, so can you. And I use that a lot, even to this day, and I love that.
Thank you, Holly. Just wanted to remind everyone, tomorrow, Thursday at noon Eastern Standard Time, join Brother Francis Rebel Say for a decree, and it shall be. He will be bringing everyone through a meditation process for manifesting all of your dreams and desires. But thank you so very much for being here, and I would just like to say, you know, that the world is forever changing. And this new world is being created by those with vision. And Holly, you definitely have great vision. We love, honor, and respect you. We know that everything is going to be super great in your world. And we want you to carry these words with you wherever you go. Love, peace, and blessings, everyone. We'll see you next week, the same time, same station. I actually have something for everybody, and it's not playing. So bear with me. Here it is. I was waiting.
Got the yay-yay.
Hey!